الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم لا يدركني زمان ولا تدركوا زمانا لا يتبع فيه العليم ولا يستحيا فيه من الحليم قلوبهم قلوب العاجم وألسنتهم ألسنة العرب رواه أحمد وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه أبو داود Most esteemed, respected ulama, ikram, elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 2 days ago, I was sitting with a father of 2 children. And his son is about 20 years old, going and attending university. So in the course of our discussion, he said, Maulana, number one, you know, our children don't listen to us anymore. They know better. Number two, they are soaked in technology, either playing games or watching videos. And the third thing, which is linked to the first two, he said, 1.5 years ago, my son told me that I don't believe anymore. I don't have iman. I am not a Muslim. All three are linked. We will explain shortly. While we might be surprised by this incident that took place firsthand, and I am giving an account of what I heard from the father directly, I want to highlight to you that there has been a surge and a spike of such incidents happening not only in South Africa, throughout the world, especially among youngsters in the late teens, early 20s, attending school, attending university, in the secular environment, and exposed to all sorts of content. Before I go into this concern that I have, and our weaknesses as a community, and the solutions that we can put in place to try and make sure that this doesn't come to our shores, doesn't enter into our homes, I want you to understand the position of the Quran when it comes to iman. So let us open the Quran and let us understand what the Quran says with regards to iman. Allah Ta'ala starts the Quran with Surah Fatiha. And in Surah Fatiha, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala introduces Himself to men. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin. Allah is introducing Himself. Who is Allah? And then Allah Ta'ala says, Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. To understand this in Arabic, you put it in a different phrase, you rephrase it. La na'budu wa la nasta'inu illa iyaka. We will worship none but you. And we will ask assistance from none but you. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us in Surah Fatiha, that in the life of a Muslim, there is only one point of refuge, one point of assistance Ultimately, everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in Surah Baqarah, remember the dua was made. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, we want hidayat. So Allah Ta'ala immediately answered that dua in Surah Baqarah, Hudal lil-muttaqin. Here's the answer to your dua. But who are going to get hidayat? Who are the people that have piety? Who are the God-fearing? Alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. The first quality is that they believe in the unseen. Now this is a fundamental aspect in the life of a Muslim, aqaid, your beliefs. If you take that away, a person is not a Muslim. He can come to the masjid and read salah. He can fast in Ramadan. He can perform hajj and go for how many umrahs he wants. But if he doesn't have his aqaid and his aqeedah right in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, he is not a Muslim. We need to understand this very well. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Now the challenges in the past, when we speak to a lot of the old people today also, they will tell you, Maulana, I was a very naughty person. I was a very naughty person. I did a lot of wrong. But I did the wrong, knowing it is wrong, feeling bad that it is wrong, and having some feeling in my heart that, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this. And they knew very well I am a Muslim. When it came to Islam and Kufr, there was a clear line. Maulana, I was a gangster. I was in the clubs. I was doing zina. I was here and I was there and I was everywhere. I was fighting and I was perhaps killing someone also. But when it came to Iman, then that's where I drew the line. Ulama say the challenge of the time is that Iman is being eroded. By and large, of intellectuals, people that have the wrong association, and people that are in the secular environment, because it has become very clear what is the agenda of the secular environment. Post-COVID-19, we saw an explosion of things that weren't in the education system, that even caused an uproar in other communities. Even the Christians took it up. What does education have to do with LGBTQ? And then they started promoting things that go directly against Quran. Now to make you understand, there's a whole lot of things that are packaged here in what I'm trying to say. I will quote a few things. Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was a very, very senior, great spiritual king of his time. Many have seen him. Hazrat Mufti Sahib passed away here in South Africa, in Germiston. He's buried there. He was a spiritual king. So he was invited to give a talk. He gave the talk. So the man comes to him and says, my wife wants to talk to you, but she doesn't want me to be present. So he said, okay. I can't speak to her alone. She has to be behind a veil. And there have to be other men with me. So he said, no problem. I will exclude myself. She got something private to discuss with you. So what this woman said, she said, Mufti Sahab, I believe that what is in the Quran is very good. But I don't believe that it is the word of Allah. I believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people that this is the word of Allah just to pacify them. But this is from his own side. Now my beloved brothers, Mufti Sahab explained a point which might be a very bitter pill and hard to swallow. But we need to understand what is happening on the ground. Go to any social Islamic institute, organization, and ask them to verify what I am saying. In how many Muslim homes, many people are sweeping it under the carpet or ignoring the fact that this is a reality on the ground. And it needs to be addressed. It needs to be resolved. Times have changed. Challenges have changed. Iman is at stake here. Imagine a person will come on the day of Qiyamah. What a sore sight it will be if the father is going Jannat forever and ever. And he's told that your son disbelieved. And he is going to Jahannam forever and ever. And more so if a person is Christian 100 years ago, Mona Thanvi Rahmatullahi makes mention of this. He says in Goa, in India, there was a father, and perhaps he was speaking of something that came to his attention. So he was speaking about it. So there was a father, he sent his son, he spent 25,000 rupees at that time, which was a lot of money, to send his son to study overseas. So his son goes, he studies, comes back home. Allah Ta'ala's decree, taqdeer, he gets very ill, he's about to pass away. Now the father is sitting there and he's crying. Oh my son, oh my piece of my heart, I spent 25,000 rupees on you. I'm not going to see the fruits of all my money and all my hopes that I had in you. I thought you'll come back, you'll work, you'll help me, you'll support me, you'll give me much more. At that moment, the child's eyes just opened. He said, Abbaji, today is not the day to cry. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, that is the day to cry. Because I can tell you the Malakul Maut is here and the angels are here and it's not looking good. It's not looking good. You never give me deen. And the child passed away. Brothers, there's a shift. There's a major shift. And we need to understand this. There's so many things in my mind and time is very short. We said, look at Quran. Coming back to the story of Mufti Mahmud Sahib, look at Quran. Iman is non-negotiable. Yu'minuna bil ghayb, you believe in the unseen against your logic. You believe in the unseen against what your eyes tell you, against what your mind tells you, against what your emotions tell you. This was the cornerstone in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When Allah told him, submit, قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It went against his logic. Go and slaughter your son. Where is the logic? Go and leave your wife in a barren land. No water, no fun around. Where is the logic? This was iman. Against your logic, against your understanding, it doesn't make sense to you. Against your logic, submission. You believe. And as an encouragement for us, under this ayat, in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, there's some beautiful narrations. Some beautiful narrations. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Ayyul khalqi, which creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do you marvel at when it comes to faith? So they said, Al-Malaika, the angels. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why shouldn't they have a firm iman? Because they by Allah. They right there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then they said the Anbiya alayhi salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why shouldn't the Anbiya alayhi salam have iman? Because wahi is coming to them. So then they said, okay, maybe us then. Our iman is great. Said, why shouldn't you believe? I am here with you. You see wahi coming to me. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those people that got very, very firm and good iman, قَوْمٌ يَأْتُونَ مِن بَعْدِكُمْ, that nation that will come after me, after you, never see me, never see you, they will find the Quran between its covers. They will find the pages of the Quran. And they will say, we believe in this. And they will practice on it. Those people are twice as great as you when it comes to the reward that they will receive. This is iman, brothers. I believe without proof. I don't need proof. I don't need to understand. I believe. I believe in the Quran and Majid. I told you that, I repeat, that there was a great scholar. Shaitan came to him. Said, let's have a debate. The debate is on Aqidah. Prove to me Allah is one. So the scholar started. First proof, Shaitan broke his proof. Shaitan is alim also. Second proof, Shaitan broke his proof. Third proof, and they're going back and forth, back and forth. So Shaitan said to him, I'll show you a person whose iman is stronger than yours. Let's go to the farm. So he goes to the farmer, the Bedouin, working and toiling in the hot sun. He's got a pickaxe or he's got a hoe in his hand. And Shaitan went to him and said, what would you say if I say, Allah is not one, Allah is two? So the farmer, no proof. He said, I'll take this and I'll make you into two. Story is over. No argument, no debate. Everything is over. When that Bedouin goes in the qabr and he is asked, Mar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? He got no doubt. He got no reservation. That was what he lived for. And that is what he died with. Allah is one. And don't tell me anything otherwise. That is the level of iman we need. Yu'minuna bil ghaib. Then salah. Wa yuqimuna salah. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. Then they pay their zakat. But the first thing, brothers, yu'minuna bil ghaib. So the fundamentals. So Mufti Mahmud Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, he answered this woman. He gave her a very satisfactory answer. He said, have you read Sirah? Yes, I've read Sirah. Then didn't you read that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-amin al-sadiq, the truthful, the trustworthy? So it goes against a person who is truthful and trustworthy to speak a lie, knowing that people can find out the lie later on, and then all your years of efforts will be down the drain. It doesn't make sense. She understood that argument. But beloved brothers, the point that Mufti Mahmud Sahib was making, at that time, many, many decades ago, or years ago, he said that, brothers, I'm trying to explain to you something, that the secular education is poisoning the minds of our children. And today we can understand it much more. When they have introduced certain things that we can't understand, what it got to do with education, evolution. That even older people are subscribing to the belief of evolution. And there are some people that are at pains to try and prove it from the Quran and say that, no, this is the system that Allah Ta'ala put in place. Brothers, let us not chop, change and twist. If you go into the details of everything, you will find that wasn't the object with which it started. Evolution didn't start like that. They say very, very clearly that man came from a monkey. It's very clear. I was explaining to a brother, one or two weeks ago, he's telling me, you know, we come originally, we're from the Khoisan. You know, in history, you read about the people of South Africa, the Khoisan. I'm a Khoisan, okay? And then he started talking about evolution, and something about evolution. A Muslim person. So I told him, my respected brother, do you know we had apartheid in this country? Do you know that same mentality of evolution caused them to put apartheid in its place? To classify people by their color, that you are, na'uzubillah, na'uzubillah, to make him understand, in their eyes, that in the makers of apartheid, that you are backwards, you are more closer to an animal. And they were treated like animals. We all understand this, brothers. That was evolution. Because they had this belief of evolution. So many things are put in school, and young minds are impressionable. So that child grows up with major, major doubts. So they say it starts with neo-irtidad. Neo is just a very nice word of saying, it's a new form of apostasy called zehni irtidad. First the mind is affected and poisoned. And a person starts toying and playing, he becomes curious, then he goes and does his own research. When he does his own research, he lands up in a hole. Because now he got no lifeline. He's detached from the scholars. The whole movement of AI is that I want quick answers. I don't need ulama. And Allah has a system from time immemorial that they were Anbiya alayhi wasalam. They were messengers. They were da'is, du'at, callers. That there is a system, you will have to go to those. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. The ulama, you will have to go and ask them. So we find this is being eroded across the board. So many things have been put in technology that is causing havoc to our iman. So coming back, beloved brothers, a person has to have iman in ghaib. Amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir, non-negotiable. Then whatever is in the Quran, whatever is in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And then another verse, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. A believer, he has no doubts. If a person is entertaining doubts that we come from monkeys or not, then he is going against the fundamental teachings of Quran and Hadith. You understand the seriousness of it. A person rejects one law of Quran, one ayat of Quran, one fundamental teaching of Islam. He can believe in 99.9%, but if he doesn't believe in that 0.1%, his iman doesn't qualify for Jannah. His iman does not qualify for acceptance. One digit is off. One line in the barcode is missing. Everything else is there, but he doesn't qualify. It's a serious matter, brothers. These matters, when it comes to aqeedah, ulama say there can be difference of opinion when it comes to how we read our salah. Imam Shafi will say this, Imam Abu Hanifa will say this, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi will say this, Imam Malik will say, there can be differences of opinion when it comes to how we read our salah and different aspects, how we make wudu. But when it comes to our aqeedah and our belief, then there is no difference of opinion. Then there is no difference of opinion. Everybody has to be on one page when it comes to our aqeedah. Now let me tell you certain issues which are very, very popular issues that have become the reason for many youngsters doing self-research and rejecting Quran and Hadith, and then eventually coming out of the fold of Islam, and then boldly they say, like people that are in LG, they say, I came out. That means it was there all the time, now I just made it public. So they become public and they'll say, proudly murtad. Proudly murtad. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. Allah ta'ala save us, Allah protect us. So my beloved brothers, one of the issues are gender equality. That men and women are equal. And then this opens up a door to a lot of problems. Major issues. The entire sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes out because a woman says, I am equal. That is why we find the push. In many places a woman says, why can't I come to the masjid and read salah? They'll have the proofs. There's a push for it. So gender equality. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Quran says that when it comes to reward of Allah Ta'ala, the reward is equal. But when it comes to the roles that you have, then Allah Ta'ala hasn't made it equal. There can't be two bosses in one house, there'll be problems. One person has to be the Amir. So Allah has made a system. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Then the LGBTQT plus movement, whatever, plus plus, that we either become sympathetic towards it, or a person says that this is allowed in Islam. Now understand, that goes directly against the Quran, and it goes directly against the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happens to that person? What happens to that person? They say, the wife of Lut alayhi salam was the wife of what a great Nabi. But Quran says, إِلَّا مْرَأَتَكْ. Everyone will be saved, not your wife. Why? Because she was a sympathizer with these people. So she was punished with them. Allah forbid, brothers, these people that will be going to the fire of Jahannam. That person that sympathized them with them, that loved them, that promoted them. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. It must not happen that he is also told, you like them, you love them, you sympathize with them, you promoted them, you fought for their rights, you go with them. So understand, brothers, there are many, many things. Women's rights. The laws of Islam when it comes to qisas. Person committed zina, married man, he must be stoned to death. Now in the media, they will demonize. They will greatly demonize this. To the point where cutting off the hands when a person steals, killing a person for the sake of justice. So they will greatly demonize it. To the point where a person feels also, yeah, this is wrong. Or he begins to believe it's wrong. Now understand, we are going against the Islamic system which has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which no one can deny. That is going to definitely affect a person's iman. And then we have another category of people A person got no gear, he got no ropes with him, doesn't have, he wants to venture into the jungle and climb down steep mountains and terrain. He gets stuck. He doesn't have a phone to call for help. What happens to him? He went into YouTube. I had one person told me, he watched one video. Major doubts. And this is becoming a trend. Out of curiosity or to pass time, you want to watch debates, watch videos, what's happening here, what's happening there. And then the mind is becoming filled with filth and poison for Islam. And Allah forbid that snake that will grow in that mind. And it will bite the person and kill him, kill his iman at the time of mort. That's when shaitan will come in front of him and put all the doubts in his mind. And then he's finished. So my beloved brothers, I don't want to over-labor the point. What is the solution? What is the solution? It's happening. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi, he spent 4 years in the Malta prison because they tried to re-establish the Khilafat. The ulama fought the British in 1857, the mutiny. They fought the British. Ulama were hanged and killed in great numbers. In the past, they tried everything to destroy Islam. So, the ulama had to change the strategy to save the ummah. The struggle continues, but on which front? They said on the intellectual front. Today we see that the jihad is an intellectual jihad. The mind is the battlefield. The mind is a battlefield. Lord Macaulay, I got it on record. When they left India, they tried to colonize, they raped India, they stole the grain, they starved the people, people died in great numbers. They took the diamonds and the gold and they raped India. And when they left from there, he said, no, we're not going to leave, just leave. You know, like in war, they say we'll put mines also, we'll put bombs. So still they must feel the pain. They said, we are going to leave such an education system that the mind will be the mind of a kafir. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah, I mustn't see that time and may you not see the time, O my sahaba. La yuktaba'u fihi al-alim, the ulama won't be followed. وَلَا يُسْتَحْيَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَلِيمِ, and the forbearing person won't be respected. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الْعَاجِمِ, their hearts will be the heart of a kafir. وَأَلْسِنَتُهُمْ أَلْسِنَةُ الْعَرَبِ, but at times they will be able to debate with you and talk in Arabic or do their own self-study. At time doesn't permit to go into that discussion, the discussion of self-study. So there are many things that are causing problems. Ulama say, brothers, what is the need? The need of the time is every one of us, we have to make an effort in our homes. Kullukum ra'in, we are all a shepherd and we are going to be questioned about the flock. What effort did I make in my house for the deen of my family and to preserve the iman of my family? I am seeing a shift, brothers, and everyone is seeing it. I was in the Eastern Cape, someone told me the exact same thing I told him I'm seeing everywhere else. That when our elders came to this country, they put deen first. Today we have put our shop, our material, our financial security, our education, we've put everything first. Sports became first, swimming became first, tuition became first. So a child can go online madrasa, he can go drive-in madrasa also. If you don't know about it, come ask me about it. Drive-in madrasa. We feel that we spend the exorbitant fees, so we have absolved ourselves. The maktab system that was established, and Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi explained, that teach Quran, proper Quran, the maktab system and others, other ways of promoting the Quran, he explained, but the maktab system. We are at the beginning of the year, beloved brothers. I make an earnest, humble appeal to all parents. This is a time where we are living in great fitnas. All children from grade 1 should be connected to the maktab. Whichever maktab, but they should be connected to a maktab, heart-to-heart learning, where the questions can be entertained. Ulama are saying, that time when our parents used to tell us, hey, keep quiet, don't ask. That time is gone. Now you have to listen, you have to let them ask, but you have to give them proper answers. And if you can't give them an answer, go to someone that got an answer for them. Clear their minds. So the maktab system, send them to the maktab, don't compromise. For Allah's sake, 3 days a week is not going to work. This thing of swimming and tuition and sports, how are we going to answer in front of Allah Pak, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I never allow them to read the Quran. My child can't read Quran, can't read Salah properly, can't make wuzu properly. Why? Because they were too busy swimming, or they were too busy playing cricket, or they were too busy playing soccer. What did he do for them on the day of Qiyamah? So that is one. The second effort, brothers, is in our homes. In our homes, our ulama are saying that read from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the faza'il amal. Tried and tested. Make zikr in our homes. The zikr of the first kalima, at least, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At least 100 times. And the third effort is dua. Anbiya alayhimus salam was so worried about the iman of their children. Ma ta'buduna min ba'di. What are you going to worship after me? They made dua for their children. How much dua we make for the iman of our children? As I said, brothers, there are so many incidents, so many, it's spiking and surging. People are just leaving iman, youngsters just leaving iman. May Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah protect us, Allah keep our iman firm, and Allah keep the iman of our progenies firm, and give us tawfiq to follow the solutions. And one important solution is to always link up and join programs and sit in the company of the pious ulama to give the positive side of this incident that I mentioned in the beginning. The father told me, I reached out for help and I started making effort on my son. And alhamdulillah, it's made a difference. I can see that alhamdulillah is coming back onto the deen. He's coming back into Islam. All it requires is some effort. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Inshallah, if the masjid area is not sufficient, we request the brothers to go on my left, your right. Stay well in the back. Go up there, inshallah, and we can follow the salah.